Title of my message, How to Handle Difficult Circumstances. And that is by allowing the potter's hand to take care of you in all areas of your life, to meet your needs, not your wants, not your desires, but what you truly need. And that is by submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ, by giving your time and your talents, and more importantly, your attention to Jesus, so that you can handle the difficulty of life, the difficult circumstances of life. And as I just look at the new year that we are in, we're only 15 days into this new year, and we've seen so many within our church family who have been sick, who have lost loved ones. And as I said a couple of weeks ago in prayer meeting, death has no timetable. Life has a timetable for you and I here on this earth, but death knows no timetable because it's always operating. And it's so important that we devote ourselves to Christ and knowing how we can truly handle difficult situations. And today we're going to briefly read a few verses in Philippians 3. If you'd like to go ahead and turn there, feel free to do so. Philippians 3. We'll be reading verses 7 through 14. And in these particular verses here today, Paul, he gives us an ample example, wonderful examples of how to better equip ourselves in times of need. And I know that each one of you sitting here today are in need of something. In need of something, physical, mental, spiritually, emotionally. We're all in need of something. But by allowing God to direct our paths, we don't have to attempt to fulfill the meeting of those needs in the flesh. We can allow God to assist us and to meet our needs in all circumstances of life. And we know the life that Paul lived, even when he was in prison. You know, that's what continues to amaze me about Paul, is that all the times that he was cast into prison, he continued to faithfully worship God. And he knew that the reason why he was even in prison was because he continually and faithfully worshiped God. Now, how many of you today would say that if you knew that you would be thrown in prison, would you continue to worship God? And if you did continue while in prison, would you be able to sing praises unto his name? Would you be able to speak to God one-on-one in a way that would provide you peace, provide you comfort, and then let alone give you the ability to write some of the greatest books that we read in the New Testament? But Paul never wavered. And how important it was that God chose fit to use Paul in a way that he used him, turning a man who ridiculed, persecuted, and killed the Christian into one of the greatest that we know in the New Testament era, as far as relationships go with the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he gave us the template, the examples of what it means to face God with faithfulness, for how faithful he is in all of our lives. Paul was literally in chains. But today, I think that we too are in chains in a figurative speech, and that we all have different things in life that chains us down, whether it be problems with family, job, finance, perhaps it's alcohol, gambling, pornography, or just life in general. We all have chains. And those chains that are weighing you down may not be evident to me, may not even be evident to your family or your friends, but they're evident to God. And what those chains are doing, if you will not allow them to be broken, to be set free, it is hindering your spiritual growth. It is hindering your ability to have a relationship with God the Father. And on top of that, it's hindering you from being able to handle life's difficulties, the difficult circumstances of life. But when we face these difficult times in life, it's so important that we keep our focus on God. And I know that you hear me say this many times, whether it be Sunday morning, Sunday night, or even on Wednesdays, how important it is that we must remain focused on God. Because once you begin to take your eyes away, you'll begin to sink. But who's always there when he knows you're going to take those eyes away? And that is Jesus. His hand is always extended. He doesn't want to let you go. He never lets you go. We always tend to let go of him. So if we focus on Christ and allow him to use us in mighty and powerful ways, then we can handle all life throws our way. So can we break those chains? Can you, like Paul, rejoice in knowing that God is in your corner? That God has your back. He is your supporter. And so today I want us to talk about the importance of being able to recognize these things in Christ and knowing that he is here for us. And I know that it's easier said than done. Just like we speak of these resolutions that we attempt to make in the new year, whether it be to exercise more, to eat healthy, or whatever it may be, sure, you can make that proclamation. But if you're not willing to simply commit to it, then it's going to fail. We use the word mind over matter. What I want you to do today is focus on Jesus over all things. Let Jesus begin to permeate your mind, and he will take care of those things that truly matter. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, if you'd please stand as I read from Philippians 3, verses 7 through 14. Philippians 3, 7 through 14. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's very important. I want to go back and read that again. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't look at the past. Don't worry about your past failures. Reach forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son so that we could obtain, so that we could press toward the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, may we think back of all the goodness that you have provided for us in our lives, God, but may we not look back at all of our past failures. May we understand and know that those things are behind us, and that we look forward to what you can do within our lives today and this point forward, God, as we humbly submit ourselves to you. Lord, it is my prayer that you add a blessing to the remainder of this service, God. May you let go and have your way within our hearts, within our souls, within our minds. Father, we give you the praise and the adoration for all that you do each and every day, Lord. Lord, we do love you and we praise you. In your heavenly name I pray, amen. In reading these verses, we see why it's important to press toward the mark, to press toward the prize, and how if we keep pressing forward and if we don't look back, how God will reward you. You think back to Lot's wife. She had to have one more glimpse. And what did it cost her? Her life. We don't need to dwell on the past. We don't need to have another glimpse of how it used to be. We press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to look back. He wants you to look forward. He wants you to keep your eyes focused on Him so that when life throws you a curveball, a fastball, or even a changeup, you can deal with it head on because you get your power from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." What do you count for loss? All of those things that you gain for the sake of the call, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, those are losses, but those are losses that will be repaid tenfold. We have to be willing to let go, to let God have His glorious and merciful way. Verse 8 says, "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Do you have knowledge in the Lord? Do you have faith in the Lord? Do you know that Jesus has your back? Do you believe it? We say it many, many times. But do you truly know that God's got you? Do you believe it? Do you practice it? Do you preach it? Do you teach it? Do you live it? It is so important that we show others how true and how strong our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the world is watching. And just as the world is watching, we too should be watching, but we should be watching and waiting for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's coming soon and very soon. And how ready we should be, how ready you should want all people to be, for this day of reckoning is coming for those who have not called upon the name of the Lord. In this verse 7 and verse 8, Paul is evaluating his former life. That's what he's doing. He's looking back at the life that he once lived. He's not dwelling on it. He's not wishing he could go back and do things over again. He's just looking back at how life used to be and how much more life has improved for him now, even while he sits in prison. Because he sits in prison, or he sat in prison because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. His aspirations for his life were that he wanted to make sure that no matter what happened in life, that he would continue to seek out and to do what the Heavenly Father needed him to do. In these particular verses in 7 and 8, Paul uses the word count three times, or it may be in one of your translations that you have today, it may be the word consider. But in these two verses, he uses the word count three times. And what those words mean, count. In verse 7 and 8, he says, count for loss. This is what he means. Paul's loss was for the sake of Christ. Secondly, he means for the surpassing value of knowing Christ. How wonderful of a value that is, that the knowledge of Christ and knowing who He is surpasses all things that this world has to offer. It surpasses any knowledge that you can obtain from any book other than the Bible itself. To know God is the greatest knowledge there is. And then lastly, he uses the word count for gaining Christ. To give up what this world has to offer to gain Christ. I don't want to lose my soul for what this earth has to offer. I want to give my soul for what God has to offer. And when we're able to do these things, we're able to see the importance of how a Christian should handle life's difficulties. And when so many of us, or so many around us who may not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, sees your living example, your living testimony of how you deal with circumstances in life, difficult circumstances in life, you are speaking volumes of how great the Lord Jesus Christ is. Our instinct should be to pray immediately when we know something is wrong. No matter how small of an issue it may be, pray. Pray. Seek to God. Seek His face. Seek His counsel and how He would have you go about handling this particular situation. Paul's new discovery or his new aspirations are what guided his every thought. And you know, we study Paul, and he's so fun to study. He's so encouraging. His words are so encouraging. But where did he get his words from? Where did he get his aspirations from? He got them. He received them from the same person that you receive yours from today. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We study Paul because therefore he's in the Bible. And we look to him because we know that God found favor in him and used him in a mighty and powerful way. But you're no different than Paul. God can use you in a mighty and powerful way, just as he used Paul. And you don't necessarily have to go to prison for it. He can use you in a way that you can't describe because it's a power from on high. A love like there is from no other. When Paul realized that he gained Christ, he was able to find in himself that God himself, that Christ himself gave him a Christ-like righteousness. And in return, this is important, in return that when he gained this Christ-like righteousness, he was able to gain a resurrection through death. That he knew that when his life would end, that he would be glorified and unified with Jesus Christ. And these same values or these same principles that Paul learned, we too learn today. We study it. We should be able to share it. We should be able to live it. And if we're able to live these things and able to focus on God, we can break those life chains. No matter what they are, you may have numerous chains that are weighing you down. But if you are able to allow God to break those chains from you and to set that captive spirit free, then there is no telling what all you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has great and mighty plans for you if you're willing to adhere to his word. But we often respond or we reply to life's difficult situations in the flesh, whether it be through anger, denial, avoidance, whatever the case may be. We want to respond in the flesh. And that's a natural response, because we were naturally born as sinners. But the more that you put yourself in God's word, the more that you pray to him, the more that you communicate with him, the more easy it becomes to focus on God. The more easy it becomes to look straight and forward, whereas you don't have to look behind you. So that past does not have to haunt you any longer. God has taken those chains and he's broken them away from you and you've let them go. They have fallen by the wayside. And now you are looking upon Jesus, the face of the true and living Son of God. If we focus on Christ as we should, if we study his word as we should, it will then become an instinctive response to reply or respond in a Christ-likeness and not of one in the flesh. There are three particular components that I'd like for us to speak on today that will teach us or show us the way to handle life circumstances. And so if you would turn back to 2 Corinthians at this time, chapter 1, just verses 9 through 12. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 through 12. Here we see, or this first component being, God is your deliverer. God is your deliverer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 9 through 12. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Ward. Verse 10 is my favorite of these, I believe. Who delivered us from so great a death? You have been delivered by Jesus. He makes all things possible. No matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you will do in the future, if you've called upon the name of God and you've allowed his Son to enter into your heart, you've been delivered. You've been set free. You've been delivered from a death, a great death. But it says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. See, that's it. It's faith. It's trust. You don't just read these words and become saved. What do you have to do? You've got to trust him. You got to know in your heart that his words are true. And you have to put all faith and hope in him. And if you are not willing to do that, then your life is lost. All hope is lost. But we gain our hope, we gain our faith and our trust in seeing God's handiwork, God's willingness to perform miracle after miracle within our lives, how he answers our prayers, how he delivers us from sickness, how he proves over and over that he's always got a plan. And his plan may not always be what you want, but I can tell you that his plan is far better than anything you could ever conjure up on your own. God is our deliverer. Verse 12 says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom. That's important too. You know, we have to make sure and realize that we don't obtain any knowledge on our own, even if it's just book smarts. How do you think you obtain that knowledge? It is through God's abilities that he has given unto you. There's no fleshly wisdom. Even those who don't believe have no fleshly wisdom. It is of their flesh, but anything that one has obtained is only because God has allowed them to obtain. But it's all by the grace of God. God makes all things possible. Secondly, God is your healer. He's your deliverer. He is your healer. Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. This statement is made with great confidence. Do you think there was any doubt here in Jeremiah's mind when he made this statement? Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Do you believe this? Do you know that when you pray to God for him to heal you, to him to show you the way, do you truly believe that he's going to do it? Is he going to deliver you? Is he going to heal you? Yes, he will. Will it be the way that you may want, the way you may desire? It may not necessarily be. But God will deliver. God will heal. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Another wonderful proof and promise by God. If God said it, it's true. Non-negotiable. There's no wavering with God's word. If he says it, there's no gray area. It's black and it's white. God says, fear thou not, I am with thee. God is with you everywhere you go. In all that you do, he is with you. But how often do we fail to recognize his presence? How often do we fail to recognize how he intervenes within our lives? I thought back over this past week as I traveled to Charlotte on Friday morning, and many of you that may make that journey weekly, you know exactly what I speak of. But I've seen many times with traffic how God intervenes and how there should have been an accident. There should have been a devastating crash, a collision, and it didn't happen. Is that mere physics? Is that mere luck? No. It's God's hand. It is the power of God. He orchestrates. He maneuvers. He moves things to suit his will, his desires. God is with you each step of the way. Everywhere you go, every step you take, he's with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Be not dismayed. He will uphold you with the right hand of righteousness. God is your deliverer. He is your healer. Thirdly, God is your guide. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is important. This is verse 6. In all thy ways, what should you do? Acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct your path. He will deliver. He will heal. He will guide. He does the hard work. All you've got to simply do is allow him to use you, to guide you, to direct you. As I mentioned in the previous parts of this message today, we see so many things that go wrong in life. But God will deliver. God will provide. And he will take care of you. We just simply need to cast our care on him. Let him worry about the circumstances. Go to bed at night and let God worry about it. Let God take care of your situation so you can get a good night's rest. What point is there in worrying? If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Your worrying will not prevent. Do not ever focus on the circumstances. Focus on the one who controls the circumstances, and that is God. No one else can control your circumstances. Sure, you can control how things may evolve within your life. You make decisions that affect different outcomes or present different outcomes. But at the same time, we have to realize that God is still in control. Keeping our eyes fixed upon God is the best thing you can do when facing life. No matter if life is flowing smoothly, or no matter if you're in the heart or the eye of the storm, keep your eyes focused on God. There are five words or five tactics per se that if you want to maybe write these down that I feel that are imperative to assist you in how you can focus on God more easily and handle difficult circumstances. The first one is the most important, and that is to know God. You've got to know him, and he's got to know you. So number one is to know God. Number two is once you know him, you've got to be willing to follow him. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Know God, follow God. Thirdly, you've got to trust God. You have to be willing to recognize that he is in control. Once you've learned to know, to follow, to trust, then you must stay on track. Don't think that you've arrived. Don't think that you're a seasoned Christian just because you've got a Bible, it's 40 or 50 years old, or even if you've got a Bible, it's only a couple of months old. Don't think that you're a seasoned Christian and you have arrived, because you will not arrive until the Lord Jesus Christ takes you home, and then you will arrive. Each and every day should be a learning opportunity for you and for me. Know God, follow God, trust God, stay on track with God. And fifth, keep watching for God. Keep your eyes fixed upon God, watching for him, watching and waiting. And I know that you'll never be happy with situations in life, life's difficulties. But be satisfied in knowing that God is in control. And once you realize that these trials have come your way, and this is very important, you know, we often ask, why does God allow these things to happen? But rest assured in knowing that he's got a plan. And that when you have a trial, when you face a tribulation, and God gets you through it, it should put a smile on your face and know that all that you read in this Bible is true. That God is faithful. And if he got you through one, he'll get you through 100. He'll see you through. He'll see you through. And once you begin to understand and know that his faith is so real, how it will enhance your relationship with Christ. And then once it begins to enhance your relationship with Christ, it will then enhance your relationship with fellow believers. And then it will also enhance your relationship with those who don't believe, because God will begin to radiate. And others will be able to see a difference in you. And they'll want to know, why do you smile? Why do you sing? Why do you whistle? Why are you so happy? Because I've got a friend. And his name is Jesus. Let me tell you about him. And he'll help you handle all of life's circumstances. So no matter how severe the pain or how terrible the situation may be, keep your eyes focused on God. And when it's all said and done, you too can give an answer like Paul, which we read in Philippians 3:14. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press toward that mark. Don't look back. You will never be able to grow closer with God when you just live your life, when you just go through the motions. You may think that you're living for God. You may think that you're doing what all is necessary. But if you're just going through the motions of life and you're just living, then you're not doing what all God needs you to do. It takes thoughtfulness. It takes a desire. It takes a willingness to submit to the Savior so that you can experience life and experience life more abundantly. And there's only one way, and that is through the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. So if you sit here today and you may begin to ponder and think about difficult circumstances in your life. Now, if this past circumstance has already been dealt with, leave it alone. But perhaps you're going through something right now that you just need prayer for. Don't be ashamed. God already knows your heart. Simply bow down to Him and ask Him to deliver you, to heal you, and to guide you. Let us pray. Our Father, I pray today that we all truly press toward the mark of the prize, of the calling on high. Father, I pray that we strive daily to grow closer to You. May we take time to be holy. May we think of You all the days of our lives. May we deliberately and intently pursue the only true and living God. Father, I ask You to teach us to number our days with a soul-searching desire to live for You. May we cast our circumstances at Your feet so You may give us a power to break every chain and allow our captive spirits to be set free. God, You know each and everyone's heart here today, Father. And Lord, I pray now that if there's someone here today who's struggling with an issue, God, Father, I pray that You begin to move within their heart and to let them see that You care and that You want to deliver them and that You want to heal them. God, I pray now that You will continue to guide the duration of this service. There's a lost soul here today, Lord. May they cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, we love You and we praise You. In Your heavenly name I pray. Amen.